We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Steve Sommers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is... good evening to you, and how you be at 8:06 and 35 seconds. Go right along with it on a Monday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Sommers here, you there. Tom Lugauer, Paulie Rosenberg, he's pointing at himself. He knows he's there also. 1-877-337-6666, that'd be the number as if you didn't know, for another two-hour schmooze right up until the Icelanders at 10 on your fan, New York City. And also here with us, and it's our pleasure to always welcome him for a segment or so, Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network. Brian, how the hey are you?
I'm doing quite well. Steve, good to be with you here tonight.
Oh, yeah. As always, it's good to have you on for a couple of minutes. That's for sure, Brian. Let me ask you this. I was just thinking of this moments ago. Do they still at the Combine have the Wonderlic test?
Yes. Yes, they still administer the Wonderlic test. And the results are never supposed to be released. They're never supposed to be made public, yet they're always made public. So, for your listeners out there, Steve, it's a... I believe it's still a 50-question test timed. And, you know, it's for everyone you get wrong, it's, you know, you dock it one from 50. So
yeah.
I think the best ever, you know, is around a 48 to this date.
Is this football IQ as well as just regular IQ?
No, it's very few football questions. They wouldn't ask you who Johnny Unitas played for or what number he played for
19.
Or if he had a horseshoe on the side of the helmet.
There are other type of questions. Yeah. See, I know 19.
Yeah, see?
You just
got one. You just got one on our new Wonderlic test.
What is the meaning of the Combine to you? Is it more that we bond with coaches and GMs and scouts so they can find out what kind of person you are? Because let's face it already, they're not really doing a lot of football-related skills. In other words, the quarterbacks are not throwing against pressure.
No.
But nonetheless, what is your meaning of the Combine to begin with?
Well, I'm a little cynical, Steve, when it comes to the Combine. I wasn't invited. They didn't have it when I played. I was an undrafted free agent. However, I think what it does is it gives a lot of personnel people and coaches an out when they get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They can always say, well, he jumped 40 inches.
Right.
He ran a 4.3 40.
Right.
You know, he just wasn't coachable. He had injuries, whatever. I mean, most of these guys, I mean, if you want to go watch Baker Mayfield, there's 40 games you can go watch him at Texas Tech and Oklahoma.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of you can go watch him against Georgia in the semifinals.
Sure.
He had a great game. I mean, go watch the games. Go, you know, but you could learn a lot by talking to these guys. But it does kind of kick off the whole process here. Start at the Senior Bowl. It goes to the Senior Bowl. It goes to the private workouts. They're trying to gather as much information to get it right, but obviously they don't get it right. You know, I don't think they get it right any more often now because they have all this information.
Right. And like I was watching a little bit with your NFL Network, and we're talking, of course, with a familiar voice on this radio station, Brian Baldinger, former player and a damn good one and a damn good broadcaster with the NFL Network. I was watching before airtime at 6:30 a little bit this afternoon with the NFL Network, and they were talking about a panel discussion. I didn't have the sound on, but they were talking about Griffin. The linebacker as the the fastest linebacker at the Combine. But what does that mean? Can he drop back in coverage? Can he apply some pressure? Can he go east to west as well as north and south? I mean, they weren't talking, and with the graphics that I was reading, they weren't really talking about him other than the fact that he's the fastest linebacker, or was the fastest linebacker at the combine. What does that mean, Brian?
Well, you know, it's also interesting because he is an interesting prospect because he played football without a left hand. You know, he was removed when he was 4 years old.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, and so, you know, so what happens is when he goes out and he runs this blistering 4.3, you know, 40 that he ran, mm-hmm. you go back and you go, well, okay, let's see if the speed transfers. And that's what I did last night. I went back and watched some Central Florida games. They played Auburn in a New Year's Day bowl game, and he played really well in the game, really mm-hmm. well. And when mm-hmm. you watch him, you go, the hand, or the lack of the left hand,
right.
doesn't appear to be any kind of a handicap. He's never played football in his life without it or with it. So he's always played without it. He's learned to adjust. His speed really transfers. His twin brother mm-hmm. was a third-round pick of the Seattle Seahawks. He starts a cornerback for him now.
Right.
He's got incredible athletic ability, Steve. His speed does transfer. Sometimes guys run really fast, but they only run fast in one direction. This guy changes direction. He's very slippery. He can rush the passer. I think a really good defensive coordinator could find a lot of different ways to use his skills. Even without the left hand, he's going to be drafted, I think, pretty high, and I think he's going to be a good player.
Well, of course, Jason Pierre-Paul,
yeah.
you know, had the burning with the July 4th yeah. incident, and he had a club on his hand. What does this kid have such a club on his hand at all?
No, he just has a nub at the end of his left arm. He doesn't have any hand whatsoever. It was removed, like I said, when he was four. But when you go and you watch him play, you go, well, how can he grab anybody? How does
well,
he get
sure.
Block? But he does. He's very slippery. He's learned to adjust. I think his heart for the game and his ability to adjust without it, I mean, you barely notice that he doesn't have it. He doesn't miss tackles. Mm-hmm. He runs through players. Mm-hmm. He wraps up with his other arm. It almost appears that he doesn't have a handicap at all. In fact, I have never talked to him, but mm-hmm. I would say that if you did ask him, he probably doesn't feel like he's handicapped. He
right.
probably feels gifted.
All right, so he's a second or third round pick?
I think so.
All right.
I think so.
Yeah, all right. Now, I noticed also watching a little bit with the combine on the NFL Network, Hines. Hines, the running back from North Carolina State. He ran the fastest 40. Is he better than Barkley?
I don't think so. You know, sometimes it's never a bad idea to take the fastest running back. I can remember plenty of years when the fastest running back got taken, and he turned out to be a pretty good player. It doesn't always happen that way. Saquon is just a very polished player. He catches the ball really well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great kid. He's extremely strong. He can really make people miss. He explodes. I mean, his speed he's so explosive when he has to stop and start. And sometimes he glides a little bit like the way we remember Gale Sayers to glide.
Ooh.
Not many players get compared to Gale Sayers anymore.
Wow.
But he kind of glides like that once he mm-hmm. starts shifting gears in the open field like a fine European sports car.
Are the Giants going to take Barkley and or should they?
Well, I think they should be in consideration. I think they have a decision to make. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this draft that you could take early. But Eli is there, and he doesn't want to go anywhere. And it looks like the new regime, Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman, are kind of committed to him. They've never seen what Davis Webb can do. We don't know what he can do or can't do at this point. He was a third-round pick last year. They do not have a good running back on the roster. They need to upgrade their offensive line tremendously. It's going to be a priority for Dave Gettleman, the general manager. I don't believe Saquon Barkley by himself makes them a very good offense yet. But the great backs in this league do make offensive linemen look better.
Mm-hmm.
And they do make average offensive linemen's lines better. And I think he could do those two things for the Giants. I think he certainly in the conversation over the next 7 weeks as to what the Giants should do, if he's available with that pick.
What do you think? All right, let me go to the Jets. Are they? They're at number six.
Yeah.
Well, all right. They're at number six. So if they don't move up and stay at number six, are they going to go with a quarterback? And I think they're going to try and move up and get the quarterback they would like. What do you think the Jets will do? What do you think, once they do it, who they might be taking?
Well, Mike Maccagney now, I think, is entering his fourth year. I mean, they've got to get the quarterback position straightened out. I mean, we can't keep talking about Joe Willie forever. but it seems like that's all we've ever talked about because they've never gotten it right since then. But they have to get there. Now, whether it's the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, which is going to cost a lot of money, or it's one of these quarterbacks. I mean, they have to. They can't keep plugging that position with, you know, free agents and guys that aren't worthy of it. I mean, we watched enough bad football from them last year. And nothing against Josh McCown. Josh was fine last year, but he's not the answer.
No.
If they don't get Kirk Cousins, whether it's too rich for their blood or he decides to go someplace else, whatever, I think they have to take quarterback with that sixth pick. And if you're right, Steve, if they feel, let's say, Sam Darnold is the quarterback that they think is the best of all of these guys, and they might have to move up to get him, then they have to move up to get him. I mean, they can't do this to the fan base. They can't do this to their team any longer. They've got a new offensive coordinator in Jeremy Bates. It'd be good to pair him with a new quarterback and let them grow and develop together.
Now, let me ask you this, because the Giants see, to me, and the latest is what the hot and heavy rumorizing, all the speculation now is that the Giants, because of Eli going to be around for another year or two, that they might take Barkley number two. To me, they cannot pass on a quarterback because they have to be thinking, Brian, now this is just my two cents worth, and I'm not, listen, I'm far from being an expert on anything, but the bottom line, if they don't take a quarterback and one of these kids that they could have taken turns out to be a franchise-type quarterback, the Giants will be hearing it forever and a day. And here's another thing, and you touched on this. If, God forbid, Eli Manning, who is Mr. Durability, that's for sure, if he were to get hurt, we don't know a thing about Davis Webb.
Yeah. Well, they have to, you know, Pat Shurmur has been around this game for a long time. He was in Philadelphia with Donovan McNabb and saw Sam Bradford in Minnesota. He saw a lot of different guys over his time in this business. Was with Sam Bradford as a rookie in St. Louis. Coached him to the Rookie of the Year that year with Steve Spagnuolo as the head coach. And so he's got some familiarity. I think he's got a good eye for what it takes. The Giants, you know, were left. Obviously, in 2004, they made the trade to get Eli, and it was a great, great decision by the regime back then. And I think they need a succession plan. I'm with you, Steve. You know, the running back is nice. I think he's a luxury item at this point. I think the Giants have got to say to themselves, Eli, whether he's here this year, next year, whatever, they have to have a succession plan. And if they feel, now maybe they don't feel any of these five or six guys that are going to be talked about ad nauseum the next 7 weeks. Maybe they don't feel like these guys are franchise quarterbacks. If they don't, then that's, you know, they'll have to live with if one of these guys becomes, you know, Carson Wentz or becomes, you know, Aaron Rodgers. They'll have to live with that. But that's where, you know, what I would do if I was the Giants is every day I came in, I would put another one of these, I'd put a quarterback up on my video screen and I would just watch. A different one every day. Lamar Jackson today. You know, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rose. I'd put a different guy up on my board and I'd watch him every day. And I would just, I'd filter him out. I'd just let my eyes do the screening of this thing. And I'd come up with a unanimous decision whether there is a guy or more than one guy or no guy, you know, in this process.
Of the quarterbacks that, we're talking with Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network. Brian, of the quarterbacks that you saw during the combine, which was the best quarterback that you saw regarding now, I mean, the limitations, what with the combine, but still, what quarterback impressed you the most and what quarterback do you think of the ones you saw at the combine? We know Darnold is waiting for the USC Pro Day.
Yeah.
Which of the quarterbacks were you most impressed with, and which of the quarterbacks do you think would make it in New York with the fan base, with the scrutiny, with the media, the whole thing?
Well, Josh Allen's an impressive kid. I mean, you know, first of all, his size, his athletic ability. I'm actually watching him right now as we speak here against Boise State. He's an impressive kid. I know he didn't have a great year statistically, but he can really throw the ball. I mean, really throw. He's got a really strong arm. The comparisons to Carson Wentz are not far off. It's the same offense that Carson ran. He's the same size. He's a really good athlete. But Baker Mayfield is just an impressive kid. He just is. His love of the game is unparalleled. I know he doesn't have all of the great measurables you want at that position. Russell Wilson didn't have it. Drew Brees didn't have it. And I don't want to compare him this early to any one of those guys, but it's not a limitation for him, his size. He just moves at a frenetic pace. He is a phenomenal competitor. He played a lot of football. He was well coached these last 2 years with Lincoln Riley. I thought he was impressive at the combine, and I think he's going to be impressive throughout this whole process.
Josh Rosen out of UCLA, of course, he said he was very impressed with Pat Shurmur, talking with him during the combine, and would love to play in New York. And again, unlike a lot of other places, Brian, it's the crowd, it's the passion, it's the scrutiny, it's the knowledge, it's the media. It's the largesse. It is, I mean, it is NFL and New York together as one, as you know. With Josh Rosen, do you think, even though he's been hurt, he's had the concussion, he's had some other issues.
Yeah.
The shoulder and the concussion. Do you think he could make it in New York?
Well, he did it in Los Angeles, you know, and it's not the same scrutiny by any means.
Oh, no way.
New York. And UCLA is not USC, and it's certainly not the New York Jets or the Giants. So you don't know how it's going to affect a guy, how it's going to eat him up. You know, I mean, the Jets drafted Mark Sanchez after 19 starts, traded up in 2009 to draft him, and it just did not work out. And I don't think he was a good fit for New York. I think it's a very, very important part of the conversation. Playing in New York is not like any other place. And these fans know a fraud. They know who can play and they can't play. And they're going to let it be known when they show up to, you know, MetLife Stadium. So I don't know that answer yet, Steve. I really don't. I don't want to say that he can't do it. I know that the injuries for me would be a concern.
Sure.
Two concussions and a, you know, soft tissue injury to his throwing arm, to his shoulder. Those are things that, you know, and many guys have said that, you know, injured players stay injured, and he's missed time because of those injuries. So it's a concern, and your doctor better have a, you know, big part of weighing in to whether you make that decision or not.
Yeah, listen, if he's not drafted by a New York football team with his injury concerns and with the shoulder and with the concussions, the New York Mets will draft him.
he would
fit right in with them.
Yes, he would. I mean, they've already had injuries.
Oh, geez, Brian, you can't make it up. Baker Mayfield, he's had issues off the field. Do you think that'll scare off some teams?
I think it'll start some conversations. Now, look, I mean, he at midfield against Kansas this year, three captains of Kansas didn't want to shake his hand. You know, look, if you stuck your hand out to me, Steve, and I snubbed you, I'd expect you to hit me in the back of the head. You know, I mean,
we wouldn't be doing that, Brian.
Okay, but I understand that part. There's one other incident when he was at Oklahoma. I think he's grown up. I think he's a mature kid. I think this is what he lives for, to play football. I don't think it's going to be an issue going forward. This is the season when all that stuff gets brought up. It is the teardown season. They want to tell you why you can't play at this level and what's wrong with you. And I think he's going to pass through all of that. When you're around him, I've done a couple Oklahoma games for Fox. When you're around him, I mean, it's football is what that guy loves. And I think he's an unusual competitor. He's a fiery, fiery, emotional competitor that I think would play really well in New York.
Yeah, so does he. And he would accept the challenge. He has basically said that, alluded to that on more than one occasion. If you're the New York Jets, if you're Mike Maccagnan, with so many needs, Brian, on both sides of the ball, some of us, and I'm one of them, think it would be silly to go after Kirk Cousins. Yes, he would be an upgrade. Of course he would be. But they have so many other needs, and to spend just about all of what money they do have under the salary cap on one player, and we're not talking about Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. I'm not saying he wouldn't be an upgrade for sure, but how about fulfilling, maybe getting in free agency some of the needs on both sides of the ball that you need to get, and basically draft a quarterback?
I couldn't disagree with you, Steve, on that. I really can't. I mean, there is that philosophy. Do we try to go get a ready-made quarterback that has started 48 straight games mm-hmm. and, for the most part, played really well, mm-hmm. but spend all of our resources to get him and then still be pretty barren in a lot of places? Or do you use the money you have to address certain needs to improve your team in free agency, draft a quarterback, and start building? I think when you look at the teams that have won and won consistently, now New Orleans did pick up Drew Brees in free agency, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. there is that direction you can go. But if you look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at what Philadelphia is doing with Carson Wentz, you look what New England is doing, you look what Pittsburgh did with Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, the teams that basically are in contention year in, year out, that's the way they did it. They drafted a quarterback. Then they started to basically build around that quarterback, and they never stopped building. And you can't go wrong if you draft the right quarterback. You know, it all falls apart, and everything falls apart mm-hmm. if your guy can't play or can't stay healthy.
All right, the Jets are going to offer, and the word is, and they are going to go after Kirk Cousins. Is he going to sign with the Jets, or maybe even, Brian, take a little bit less money and sign with Minnesota, a team better suited to win?
Or Denver, who's more suited to win.
Well, we're hearing today that the two teams that are in the hunt now is Minnesota and the Jets. We don't hear from Arizona with Carson Palmer retiring. We don't hear from Elway and Denver needing a quarterback. So you don't know what to think. You don't know what to believe. Every other day, depending on what time it is,
right.
you're hearing something else about Kirk Cousins. What about Denver? What about Arizona? What about Minnesota? What about the Jets? If you're Kirk Cousins, where are you going if the money is relatively the same?
Well, if I was Kirk, I would go to Minnesota because I think that's the best team. They have the number one defense in football. Most of those players are coming back next year. They got to, an NFC championship game this year against Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got some pieces there. You know, I think that's the best situation right now. Mike Zimmer is a proven head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think he runs a good ship. I think Kirk would enjoy playing there. It's indoors, in the months
right.
of November, December, maybe January. So you're not having to deal with the elements there. I mean, I think that's the best situation for him, but you know, maybe he's a competitor. Maybe there's a competitor inside mm-hmm. of Kirk Cousins. He was a fourth-round pick that, had to wait out RG3 there in Washington
mm-hmm.
to prove himself. He seems to enjoy proving himself. Maybe there's a part of him that says, let me go to New York and let's win in New York.
And you know what, Brian? I thought, and then I'll let you go, and I can't thank you enough for your time. You remember during the season when he was getting even with a writer after a game, he had a
yeah.
very... You like that? He was
yeah.
Screaming at a reporter and or reporters. Is he thin-skinned? Would he be able, if he was in New York, be able to take the scrutiny and the criticism after a bad game?
Well, I hope so. I mean, they haven't been to the playoffs there in Washington. he's had a ton of injuries around him. I'm not putting it all on Kirk Cousins at all. But, look, he hasn't had elite success yet. You hope that the drive for success is what really drives him. And not just individual success, but true team success.
Mm-hmm.
You hope that's what really drives him,
right.
that's at the core of who he is. He beat out a lot of guys at Michigan State. He beat out, the second pick in the draft at Washington. There's been
mm-hmm.
coaching changes there, a lot of personnel changes, and he sort of has risen above it all. He's gotten paid an absorbent amount of money over the last three seasons. So, And he's going to get maybe the richest payday in the history of quarterbacks here coming his way. So you hope that all he cares about at this point is winning. And whatever criticism he receives, he has to know that it's going to come with that territory.
Yeah. And I would think the ultimate challenge, this is just between you and me and the lamppost, Brian, coming to New York, where a lot of us think it matters the most, it would mean quite a challenge, and he would be king of the city forevermore, where he'd take the New York Jets into the promised land. Anyway, Brian, I can't thank you enough for a couple of more minutes of your time. Always appreciated. And one thing we want you to do, and that's take care of yourself.
I will do that, Steve. And I always enjoy listening to you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for the time, Brian. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Have a good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.